Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
Joining me today is Samantha Kelly. She's an international presenter, author, and speaker, and she's the founder and current president of Fierce Athlete, Inc. She was a 9-time state champion in high school between soccer, ice hockey, and track. She played Division I soccer at UConn for the Huskies and is currently involved in competitive rowing, pickleball, and triathlon. She holds a master's in Catholic psychology and a certificate from Notre Dame in Catholic Innovators Certificate. And we're going to talk about what she's doing with Fierce and also about the new executive order that was signed by President Trump, really banning trans athletes from playing sports throughout high school, college, and even maybe even filtering into the pro ranks as well. Sam, welcome to Blessed to Play.
Thanks, Ron. It's good to be here.
Well, let's talk about Fierce. I know you started this several years back, and why don't you tell us why you started it and what you have seen reaching out to women in sports?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you said in my bio, I was a D1 athlete at UConn, and which was an invaluable experience, and I loved it. But I will say, showing up to UConn, I was pretty shocked by some of the toxicity of the culture on my team, the culture generally in college athletics. And also kind of personally, I endured a pretty significant injury. So they actually told me it was going to be career ending. I did end up coming back, but all of those factors kind of led to this identity crisis and confusion about, what was the true purpose of sport. And long story short, ended up having a reversion back to my Catholic faith, mm-hmm. and came to see sport as an avenue to grow in holiness. And after college, I actually became a missionary for a number of years with an organization called Focus, worked with their athlete subdivision, Varsity Catholic, at the University of Texas. So I was working with, national champion volleyball players and all different athletes. And, I noticed between UConn and the University of Texas, this kind of repeated theme of athletes, but really female athletes not knowing who they really were, not knowing their true identity as daughters of God. And I just saw also all of the brokenness that came from the pressure they faced in elite athletics. And over time really came to recognize that what I believed was the antidote to that, and I still believe is the antidote to our times, is John Paul II's theology of the body. So mm-hmm. a proper understanding of the human person, proper understanding of the male-female difference, which will come into our conversation, I'm sure, later in this podcast. And a proper understanding of the purpose of the body and the purpose of the soul. And when I looked around, there were a lot of amazing Catholic and Christian ministries out there, but none were specifically for women. And I felt that the issues that women were dealing with in sport were unique and different from men. And then none were really emphasizing this theology of the body and willing to talk openly about some of the hard issues that athletes were facing. And so, yeah, I started Fierce. Gosh, it's been 8 years now, wow. Which is crazy. It's grown internationally, and our mission at Fierce is to empower female athletes to thrive in their God-given identity and femininity. And so we work with athletes, yeah, like I said, all over the world, everywhere from middle school all the way up through professional athletes to really help them on their journey of faith, but also on their athletic journey as well.
So when you started Fierce, the whole issue of biological men competing in sports and women's sports, that wasn't an issue back then, was it? You didn't start Fierce for that reason.
No, not at all. I mean, I started Fierce because of the confusion about identity, the confusion about sexuality, the party culture, the body dysmorphia, the eating disorders, mm-hmm. All of these other issues. But, God is so good because I can see in his divine providence how he placed us in this specific lane, knowing that a couple years, and I kind of saw the wave coming a little bit before it hit. Even I didn't think we'd get to the point that we got in regards to men competing in women's sports, but I am humbled that we have been placed where we are so that we can be one of the leading voices out there, really, yeah, on the issue, and having fought the issue and continuing to fight the issue, because unfortunately the battle's not over.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Samantha Kelly. She's the president of Fierce. I want to get more practical about this, because obviously you talk about proper identity and sports being properly directed. What are some of the impediments, some of the challenges for women competing in sports and maintaining a true identity? And I think from a Catholic perspective as a Christian.
Sure. You know, it's interesting today. I mean, I spend the majority of my time working with young people, and there's this trend, and we could go off in a whole other conversation about this, but mm-hmm. Where all young people are starving for a label, they're starving for an identity. Like, they want to be labeled as something. And I think very naturally for athletes, because of their accomplishments and what they spend their time doing, that label becomes, well, I'm an athlete. And, you know, we believe that a proper understanding of who you are is foundational, because the issues that I alluded to before, whether that's disordered eating, which can lead to eating disorders, whether that's body dysmorphia, whether mm-hmm. that's, you know, partying, whether that's sexual promiscuity, whether that's same-sex attraction, whether that's confusion regarding one's sex and gender. We kind of believe, and, you know, again, there are diagnosable mental health elements to this too, but we believe that's all a misunderstanding of who you really are. And who we are is not what we do. It's not what we look like. It's mm-hmm. not others' opinions of us, because all of those things are important, but they set us up for failure. So, for example, you know, I'm talking to an athlete recently, and she's like, well, if I make the varsity team, then, you know, my dad's going to pay more attention to me, or then I'll be considered mm-hmm. Athletic, you know, and the problem with those if-then statements is they set us up for failure, and that can lead to a lot of self-hate and things like that. So we just kind of help athletes step back from all that and realize, no, you've actually been created as a precious daughter of God, period. However, he did create you athletic. Like, that's in your unique talents and your unique gifts. Mm-hmm. And so you are his daughter, and you can't earn his love, but he wants to see you thrive in your God-given athleticism and in your other gifts that you've been given. And so helping them properly order that, we find, is just crucial and so fundamental. And then from there, we can then step into some of these other issues that they may be struggling with, and kind of helping them re-integrate and reorder mm-hmm. Things from there.
A question for you that came to mind is that as a female athlete moves up in the competitive ranks, whether it be from high school to college and college to pro, is there an atmosphere that will dissuade her from embracing her femininity?
You know, I think it depends, but there are definitely instances. I'm thinking of certain professional sports leagues and certain sports, and I think historically, right, because sport was predominantly male, mm-hmm. For a lot of years when we looked at sport, women felt like they had to be men in order to compete. Or they, you know, and I this was a struggle of mine, and I think it's still a struggle for women. Well, I can't be both feminine and athletic, or feminine and competitive. And those things actually aren't at war with one another, and they shouldn't be. You know, it's one of the reasons we named Fierce Fierce. It's like, you can be fierce, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean you need to divorce that from your natural feminine tender side at the same time. Like, the two can live in congruence. And so, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, especially women's professional sports, it's highly secularized. It's highly toxic. And so I think women do battle with this concept where they either feel like they have to overcompensate in their femininity, and that can lead oftentimes to promiscuity and things like that, or they feel like they have to quote unquote masculinize, and we got to be careful with those terms, because mm-hmm. if you're a woman, you're feminine, period. You know, if you're a man, you're masculine, but we can almost try to reject that in certain ways. And so you do see women kind of overcompensating or undercompensating in that regard, which is unfortunate, and I think it's a real struggle.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Samantha Kelly. She's the president of Fierce, And she's doing some great work with female athletes, giving them a greater appreciation and understanding of their true identity. And I think this identity doesn't only come from, you know, who you are as an athlete. That's part of your identity because you put so much time and passion, but who you are as a child of God. So talk about the theological understanding of, you know, embracing a true identity.
Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, you just outlined it so well. You know, and this is a way that I phrase it to young people, and I think this is rather striking because we hear this, right? We hear, oh, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God. And mm-hmm. and the significance of that, I think, can be lost on us because we hear it so much. A lot of us, I shouldn't say everybody. But really, the meaning, the depth of the meaning of that should you know, be enough to pray on for the rest of our lives. Like, it is profound when we understand whose child we are. You know, we are the child of the God of the universe, and we have, you know, Jesus, who gave up everything for us so that we could know him and so we could be back in relationship with him. And so, you know, helping student athletes understand the depth of that, I think, is so crucial, and how much they are loved, not because they perform well in the field or don't, just because they are. And so something I say to student athletes, and I say, you know, I'll do this with our listeners, wherever you are right now, if you're sitting in a chair, you could literally sit in that chair for the rest of your life mm-hmm. and do nothing. Or you could go on to win the next Olympic gold medal, cure cancer, and, you know, promote world peace, and God would still love you the same. And I think that really strikes people, right? Because we live in such a productive society, such a society of conditional love. I have to earn my worth. As athletes, we're doers, which again isn't bad. But at the end of the day, we are just loved by the Father because he created us as his precious children. And so helping athletes understand that theologically and the depth of that, you see then that lead to a deeper freedom, which then, right, translates to a deeper freedom in their sport.
All right, Sam, I want to take a break, but on the other side, I want to talk about that 2023 Biden administration proposed rule change that would prevent schools from categorically barring transgender athletes from teams that match their gender identities. And then we had a new executive order that was signed by President Trump on banning trans athletes from competing in not their original biological state. And Sam has some interesting viewpoints on that, understanding of it, and she had a really interesting interview with someone who's at the forefront of that topic. We're talking with Samantha Kelly, president of Fierce, when Blessed to Play returns right after this. Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Samantha Kelly. She's a international presenter, author, and speaker, and she's also the founder and current president of Fierce Athlete, Inc. She was quite an athlete in her day, a 9-time state champion in high school, and then played competitive soccer at UConn for the Huskies. Sam, that was we talked about identity in the first half of the show, and that was thrown upside down in 2023 when transgender athletes were allowed to compete in the original biological state, and they're, you know, basically boys competing against girls. And there's been a whole slew of newsworthy events that's happened, injuries, and everything was really turned upside down. Let me ask you a basic question on this. Did you see this coming?
Yes and no. Yeah, I think a little bit before the Leah Thomas, the Will Thomas thing happened at the University of Pennsylvania. So that was one of the most notable occurrences. I think kind of what blew this issue wide open nationally was when a Penn swimmer who for 3 years swam on the men's team, his fourth year decided that he wanted to swim on the women's team and was allowed to, ended up breaking records, winning NCAA titles, competed against Riley Gaines. That's kind of where you saw her enter. But Ron, I grew up, I won state championships. 7 of them were in track. Mm-hmm. And I won them on every year. The state track championships. I grew up in Connecticut, was on this particular track in New Britain, Connecticut. It was a very, very fast elite track stadium that they had built. And a couple years after I graduated, two males decided that they were women and I think set 14 state records on the same track that I competed on. And it was very hidden. Because I'm from Connecticut originally, just saw the whispers of it, saw what was happening, was outraged by it, and hoped and prayed that it wouldn't get to where it is and where it's gotten. But also, at the same time, wasn't surprised based off the woke culture and things that it did kind of explode and get out of hand.
And the ramifications were not only, there was physical injuries, obviously. I know there was a high school volleyball player that I think had some trauma to her head and maybe even to her brain. But this actually took away scholarships as well from undeserving athletes.
Yeah, I mean, scholarships, I think they had, they did like an international study last year of how many championships were stolen, whether that's medals or state championships or conference championships. And it was like in the 800s. And I think actually the most jarring thing, and this is a little bit more anecdotal, but when this was all kind of starting, so when the thing was going on with Will Thomas at Penn, I was sitting down to coffee with a girl and her mom. She was a basketball player out in Denver, Colorado, 16 years old, already getting D1 offers, you know, a pretty elite basketball player. And she brought this whole issue up and she said to me, she said, you know, it just makes me feel like I don't matter. And that like just ripped my heart open because that's the exact opposite of what sport should do, especially for young women, right? It should empower them. Mm-hmm. And what the government was saying, what these sports teams, what these coaches, these conferences, the NCAA were basically saying to women was your rights, your feelings, your safety doesn't matter. And that again, was, I think, the most heartbreaking part of it all.
Yeah. And that's what Title IX did. It strove for competitive fairness. And this turned Title IX upside down, in effect. Blessed to play Ron Myers, once again, chatting with Samantha Kelly. She's the president of Fierce. Okay, so a happy day came when Trump signed that executive order keeping men out of women's sports, but there was some damage that was done. And I know you got to interview Riley Gaines, who was at the forefront and stuck out her neck when the legacy media was going after her, just for promoting that, you know, shouldn't be this transgender conflict that's into competitive sports or just sports in general. What does this mean now? Are we in the clear, or what is this executive order going to do for women's sports?
Sure. I mean, it's definitely a huge victory. Interestingly, you know, the president of the NCAA had told Riley for years, you know, I don't really agree with this, but my hands are tied. It's like that's pretty spineless, you know? But the day after Trump signed this executive order, which essentially, will not allow men to compete in women's sports, the NCAA came out and said that they would honor it. I mean, obviously, you know, Trump threatened withholding funds from them, so money does a lot. But we're actually not in the clear. So it's a huge, huge victory. It's something that we do need to celebrate. It's something that, you know, the NCAA, that was kind of the holdout. I mean, a couple weeks prior to that ruling, you know, the Attorney General of Tennessee kind of overturned that ruling on a federal level that Biden had put in place to change sex to gender identity within Title IX. So that was kind of the first. And then we saw the House of Representatives pass the Fairness in Women's in Sport Act. And then the executive order came. However, really, I defer to people at Alliance Defending Freedom for some of my knowledge. If you're looking for kind of updated information on this, they're the ones really fighting this battle on a legal standpoint. Mm-hmm. Really, we're not in the clear because while there's an executive order, I think there's still two battlefronts. One, you know, people on a state level can still try to overturn this. There was a headline recently, even that a student in New Hampshire was going to try to fight this. And so what we really need to do is we need the Senate to vote on this act, and or we actually need a, we do need a Supreme Court case to really make this the rule of law. Mm-hmm. But then, so that's on a national level, but then we also have to look at the international, right? And we hope, I mean, America has such influence on the rest of the world, and there's been some governing bodies who have done great, but we also can look at what happened at the recent Olympics, right? With the boxer who was a male and mm-hmm. allowed to compete in the women's category, and women stood up against that. And I think that really empowered the movement. But this is really an international issue. So the battle's continuing. But again, this was just a huge, huge, huge victory. I don't want to even understate that as I say that we still have work to do, because the tides, I believe are turning.
Now, the ramifications don't only extend to athletes, but coaches as well. And I know there's been a number of coaches who lost their job because they wouldn't compete against a transgender athlete. And I know you work with coaches, too. So maybe you could talk on that, about how it's affected coaches throughout the nation at various levels, from youth sports all the way up to college.
Sure. Yeah, we have had some absolutely courageous coaches stand up for truth. And we've also had some coaches who have done the opposite. You know, I think of Dawn Staley, her comments last year, right before they played the national championship for women's basketball, was asked straight up, do you support men and women's sports? And she said, yes. And how disheartening that was. I mean, it's not only because I'm a UConn alum and I don't like South Carolina basketball, you know, it really was like, you gotta be kidding me, you know, like, yeah. I pray for her, but it's like, you are leading the best basketball players in the country. And you just said that you'd be okay if they played against a man. And so, you know, you had that, but then you had, yeah, tremendous coaches standing up. You know, there was the lacrosse coach who got literally fired for sending out a tweet about the kind of the ridiculousness of this all. I think most recently there was a lawsuit filed. There was a male, for those that don't know, there was a man playing on a women's college volleyball team at San Jose State. And the assistant coach was not made aware that this student was going to be on the team and that they were male. And she voiced her concerns. And so she was just recently fired finally. And she just filed a lawsuit against the school. And I believe there's some lawsuits against the conference as well. So, you know, all of these people, whether it's the Riley Gaines or the Paula Scanlon or these coaches, administrators, I think they fed off each other, right? There was this movement that began that gave a public voice to, I think, what was in the hearts. I mean, clearly what was in the hearts of majority of Americans. But they've been, not that I haven't had my own attacks on my viewpoints from some of this stuff, but they have been really publicly attacked, and mm-hmm. and they're all the more courageous for that. And that's what makes this victory so sweet, I think, too.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Samantha Kelly. She's the founder and president of Fierce. I want to talk about parents now, because in youth sports, because obviously there's so much good that could come out of playing a team sport and kids just having fun and playing sports and see where their talents lie. What's your advice to parents who come across this conflict when they're playing in a youth league and they see someone who's transitioning, who's not of the same biological sex as their daughter playing? What would be your words of encouragement and just guidance?
I wouldn't let my kid play. you know, and again, hopefully because of the executive order, there will not be these cases, because there's even studies done, you know, they say, well, what if, a youth or a minor, and again, there's being rules put in place to protect minors from this abuse of being put on puberty blockers and things like that. But there has been this, well, what if they transition or quote unquote before, you know, they hit puberty? Does that have an effect? There's actually been scientific studies that do show, even pre-puberty, a advantage of little boys over little girls. So there's still an unfairness in that. I mean, parents, you have a voice, and I think parents have been given more, courage to have that voice today, but, I think boycotting is highly effective. I think, and again, these things can be done with mercy, but we're not called to tolerate others. We're called to love, and love comes with truth. Mm-hmm. And so, I wouldn't stand for that. One, for the protection of my kid, but just to the integrity of it. God, when he designed us as our identity, you know, didn't really say this earlier, though it was implied, like, he created two sexes, and I will forever, in eternity, be a woman, you know? And so it's God created men and he created women. So there are daughters of God and there are sons of God. And that is a beautiful, stunning difference.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And why change what God has ordained and designed and turn it upside down, for sure? And the fight is in our culture, and it's a cultural battle. I know you're doing that with Fierce, changing the culture of female athletes for the positive. And if you want to reach out to Sam and her organization, it's a growing organization. She has a lot of resources, a lot of coaches, many people on her staff that could help you out, especially if you're an athlete or a coach. Go to fierce.org. Well, Sam, thanks so much for the discussion. I appreciate it, and really getting a better understanding of the ramifications and also, you know, where we are in the present and how we can move forward in the future to creating a positive environment for women in sports. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ron.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can like us on Facebook, hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Samantha Kelly, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.